pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome in. The second half of the show is live. So many things are happening, and we appreciate all of you being here. We started the show with some very sad news that we want to revisit, and that is the death of one of the all-time legends in Auburn and SEC history, Terry Beasley, number 88, part of one of the most famous tandems in the conference's storied history. Sullivan to Beasley, the first half of that was Pat Sullivan, who won the Heisman Trophy in 1971, and his favorite target, Terry Beasley, who we learned late last night, early this morning, has passed away. No easy way to talk about a subject like this, but we have invited Gene Sullivan on the program, who was Pat Sullivan's wife and obviously was at Auburn during this incredibly special time in the school's history. Gene, thank you very, very much for being with us. I hate to talk to you. It seems like I saw you a year or two ago at a funeral, and it seems like we're always talking about things like this, but it's so great to have you on. Good afternoon.
Right. Well, thank you for having me, Paul. And Terry was a special guy and person and a special player. He and Pat had a unique relationship, and it went on for many, many years.
Yeah, and I've seen those pictures, and I mean, I know it's just I can't help but look at you and Pat and Terry Beasley, and I know that life marches on, and we all deal with things, as I know you have, having loved and admired Pat Sullivan like so many other people. But just take us back to that idyllic time at Auburn when those two, Terry and Pat, were the focus of literally everyone's attention and admiration.
Well, it started when they played in the high school All-Star game in 68. Terry called Pat to see if he could come to Birmingham and work out with him a little bit and try to work on their throwing and passing. And that's when it all started. And then they had a great high school All-Star game and had a great freshman year, and it just built. He said Terry was just ahead of his time. He just had the speed. He could catch. He could just instinctively, and they had a great relationship.
Yeah, but Gene, was that when were freshmen ineligible back then? I'm trying to remember.
Right, they had a freshman team.
Right, okay.
They played maybe
some
five or six games. Pardon?
Yeah, I said that must have been some freshman team with Pat and Terry on it.
It was. They did well, and they played well together. And then, gosh, when they opened up as sophomores, and they just exploded. Terry kind of instinctively knew where to go and to hold his hands up and catch the ball right over his head, almost without looking where it was coming from. It was a great thing to see.
And I mean, the quarterback is always the last word on everything. That's been well established. But what was their relationship like? Because by the way, Pat had other good. I've run into them over the years. That team was loaded with great players.
He did. He had Alvin Bressler, Dick Small.
Right.
You know, just lots of receivers, and they were all used. But a lot of times they keyed on Terry so he could throw to others. But Terry always seemed to kind of get in the open. He was faster than everybody else. So they played well together.
Gene, I've always been reminded by so many people, including your late husband, who was such a dear person.
Thank you.
About the night. Everyone talks about the Heisman these days, and we watched that ceremony on that Saturday night, but it was a little bit different in 1971, wasn't it?
It was. It was announced on TV, and at the time, the cable went down in the apartments.
Gene, wasn't it on a Thursday night between
Thanksgiving?
Right, okay.
Thanksgiving night, it was. Terry and Joanne Beasley were married, as we were married during our college years. So everybody got together, and We watched it on TV, just really a few of us watched it. And then when it was announced that he won, we went over to the Coliseum, and Terry was there and all the other team mates, and just everybody exploded. It was just real exciting. And that's, you know, sad that it's not like that now, because it was very special to share all this, because Pat knew that he wouldn't have gotten it without all the teammates. And Terry was a tremendous part of that.
Yeah, no, Pat told me many times that, because, I mean, he, I don't need to tell you since he was your husband, but, I mean, he was, Pat Sullivan and Terry Beasley as well were both very humble people. And every time I tried to ask him about the Heisman, he named every teammate he had, Terry number one.
Right, right. He did. And, of course, you know, he said if he could share it with everybody and let them keep it at their house, he would love for them to do that, too. So, yes, he knew that everybody else deserved a big part of it.
We're talking to Gene Sullivan about the death today of announced today of Terry Beasley, one of the all-time greats. Gene, I know Pat had so many battles, you know, with cancer and other issues that as Terry did, but it just seems so sad with Terry's battles. And you know, back then football was different. There were
right.
concussions happened and players kept playing.
Right.
I know that's something
very
dear to you.
Yeah. Terry had issues really from the 80s, even, you know, from concussions and different health issues. Pat's issues with throat cancer, and then we later found out concussion issues and CTE. You know, Terry was able to be part of the 88 plan because his issues came on so strong, and he had such health problems for so many years. And when Pat donated his brain in 2019 when he passed away, and Pat was found to have stage three CTE. Mm. And in fact, I'm going to Las Vegas tonight to a concussion legacy conference that is regarding CTE. So it's kind of apropos that. And I talked with Terry's wife last night, and they wanted to donate his brain. I didn't ask. She just said Terry and I talked about it, and we want to do brain research and want to make sure and see if he had CTE. And he suffered for a very long time.
And Gene, listen, I mean, I it shouldn't be awkward, but it is awkward to talk about these things. But I know how passionate you are and Terry's family. Where are we? And I know there's no easy solution, but I think because there's so much attention on this now, especially in the NFL and with Terry
right.
having battled it, what are you hearing from the experts?
Well, this is why my son and my grandson are going out with me tonight, and they'll have a 3-day conference, and I want them to learn more about it. I want to learn more about it. But the biggest thing right now also is brain donations, because without the brain donations from our loved ones, they can't find a cure, and they want to be able to diagnose it in the living rather than after someone's passed away. And find medications maybe that can slow the progression of the disease down. And that's what they're working on.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And I could talk about Pat Sullivan all day, but I want to make sure we close here on Terry, because I knew Terry, spent a lot of time with him early on, but as everyone who knew and loved him, I mean, he had issues, and everyone pulled for him for so many
right.
years, and sadly it ended yesterday. But when you think
right.
back to those times of your late husband and his most famous receiver, I'm just curious
I think back to happy times, and they
yeah.
always, even if they didn't see each other for years, when they got back together, they took off right where they left off. We saw Terry probably spring of 2019. Had some pictures made with Pat and Terry together, and they were just as close as they ever were. So, but we were, you know, we had great relationships while we were in college, and he was just a very good friend.
Well, Gene, please send our very best to that family and every Auburn fan. As you know, when someone like Pat or Terry departs, it is a hole in everyone's heart. And I just appreciate very much you coming on and sharing your thoughts about Terry Beasley tonight.
Yes, and thank you. And I've gotten so many pictures today of fans that have sent of Pat and Terry together. I had a video sent from Bob Hope, Look All-American video, where they were on that together, and it's been fun to reminisce about that.
Well, best to you as well, and I hope to see you one day when we're reflecting on happier times, but which we are in a way, but it is still sad, and everyone has a heavy heart. All the best with your trip to Las Vegas, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Paul. Certainly appreciate it.
Very well. Gene Sullivan joining us. I want to thank my old original partner, Bob Lockamie, who has been friends with Gene Sullivan since probably high school, for helping to facilitate that conversation, which I know everyone appreciated. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back as we continue here. A lot happening on a busy Thursday afternoon. Steve is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. That was a wonderful segment.
Thank you.
I had a lump in my throat there, and hearts out to Auburn Nation. That was I'm old enough to remember him as a player. That's tough. But hey, just to why I called, which is certainly a lot less important. Comment and a question. Just a comment about Tennessee. I think whatever comes out. I've never had more confidence in at least 20 years of our president, athletic director, and chancellor in terms of their alignment. There has been just a staggering amount of dysfunction and incompetence up there, which saddens me to say, but I'm very confident in the three people that are there. So whatever they're doing, and I don't know what they're doing, but I've got more confidence in those three individuals than I've had at anybody in Tennessee's administration in a long time. But here's my question. Paul, you said a couple segments ago that the people whose voices matter have not weighed in yet. And my question to you is, isn't Greg Sankey one of those voices? And when do you expect him to say anything if he does?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is the most influential voice in college athletics. And I can't really give you an answer. I suspect he will, and I think it's also safe to assume, and assuming is always difficult, but that he was probably made aware of what Tennessee has been doing, considering he was with the athletic directors this week. And I'm also making another assumption, which would get me kicked out of journalism school, but that the athletic director of Tennessee was in attendance.
Well, it seemed as if he was pretty outspoken about it, about NIL this summer, as I recall, calling for Congress to step up. But just
he has spent an enormous amount of time in Washington, D.C., meeting with an endless number of people, including the Senate Minority Leader and many other people that truly matter. And he's been to the White House. I mean, he's been everywhere that you can possibly go. And he's been very optimistic that something would change at some point. Now, I think everybody knows what the calendar says, and I don't think anybody was expecting the Mideast to become a powder keg, and that has the attention, along with Ukraine and the border, of everyone in that Capitol building. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Beck is up next. Good afternoon. Hey, Beck.
Hello.
Hey, Beck. Is this Beck the entertainer, or Beck the caller?
Yeah, sir.
Hey, Beck.
Well, what do you think about Kalen DeBoer? You think he's going to be worth a damn or what?
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about one of the top coaches in the country. So, yeah, I think he'll be worth more than that.
Yeah, I damn sure hope so, man. I'm a diehard Bama fan, and to the day I die.
Hey, Beck, I mean, with what Alabama has to offer, I think the two of us could go 9-3 there. Sure. Randy.
9-3.
Yeah, I'm talking about the minimum. I'm talking about the minimum. I mean, Randy, Beck, and Paul could probably coach them to a 9-3 record. I think a coach that just played for the national championship could probably elevate that.
You think we're beating Auburn this year or what?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
And what
RTR.
About
RTR. 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 Woo! Tide for life. That's Vol for life, isn't it? VFL. I'm sorry. I keep getting my teams confused. I have so many. Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul.
Yes. Yes. Good afternoon.
Hey, sir. I've been waiting for a while. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to see how you doing, and what do you think about retiring, and what you going to do when you retire?
I don't know. I must have missed the announcement today that I was finished.
I know, but you've heard that several times today, but I'd like to go ahead and ask that. I want to ask you another question. Go ahead, sir.
Michael, are you still working, or do you have a job? Are you employed?
I'm retired. I'm retired.
Okay,
yes,
I want to ask you a question. When you moved on from your job, tell me about it. I mean, did you make the decisions then, or did somebody else in your family? I mean, like your wife or your kids, or
actually, my mama helped me doing it.
Okay,
and I had some problems with my legs and stuff, okay. But. Yes, sir. But thank you for asking.
Well, how have you transitioned to retirement?
I would find me. So I'd get me some land if I was you, okay. and work the yard.
Yeah, I can assure you, Michael. And I don't want to sound like every husband in the world, but I can assure you very, very clearly that whatever I do after I quit working here, won't be my decision.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, sir, you just, I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't blame you that one thing, but I'm proud for, and I'm happy for Nick and Coach Saban.
Yeah.
I
urge anyone, Michael, and I hope you've had a good retirement with your issues. Saban just bought a house in Jupiter, Florida. It is the first day of February. Where do you think the weather is better? On the Atlantic down in southern Florida, or in Tuscaloosa?
I'll take Florida.
Yeah. You know what? I'm curious about more than anything right now. Is what the loudest mouth on the bayou has to say today.
Yeah, the weather better in Baton Rouge. That's where the weather at. Hey, Bob, why you stop telling some lying to them people, man, by Alabama, man? Why you tell that caller, tell that young caller that Alabama will get their butt whooped this year? Huh? Stop lying to the people,
First of all, Dwayne, I don't lie.
How about they got the best coach?
I don't lie to anyone. I may mislead on this show, but I don't lie.
A lot of coaches went to the championship game.
Hey, Dwayne, Dwayne, tell me something, okay?
I know quite a few went to the championship game and never went back.
Kalen DeBoer made it to the playoffs. And he won a game. What did you guys do in postseason? Who did you end up playing?
We've been to the championship.
Who did you guys play? Wisconsin?
Ed O'Donnell.
He barely won the game. Dwayne, nobody wants to hear from you, okay?
Saban. And with Nick Saban, we making it win it. Now, at the last time when Les Miles had it, Nick Saban and them cried. They cried about
Alabama has played.
After we beat them.
Alabama has been to the playoffs. How many times? Two or three times since your team has been there.
They cried one year after we beat them. We beat them 9-6, and they cried.
And Dwayne, what happened in the rematch for the what happened?
No more crying.
What happened in the rematch for the national championship?
They can't cry no more.
You guys didn't score a point.
And they're playing golf right now with Travis Scott. Now, where you tell the caller that? Nick ain't worrying about them. He was with Travis Scott the other day.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind playing golf with Travis Scott.
And another thing, too. Why you tell them Alabama fan that had that offensive lineman giving out diseases to them women, to them girls, huh? Huh? Why you tell them callers that? Huh?
I apologize, Dwayne. I've missed my spot. I missed my place here in the script. I don't know what you're talking about.
Alabama, before the championship game, that Alabama offensive lineman was giving them girls diseases.
Dwayne, we've had enough of that conversation. I don't even know what he's talking about. Do you?
No. He's lost
it. Ever since Dawn Staley emasculated Dwayne last week, he has been a blabbing, blithering idiot. We'll take a short break. Back with a very special guest who is retired now. We'll find out what retirement is like for the former defensive coordinator at the University of Alabama.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And this is the interview I've been waiting for years, to finally get a coach that left the Nick Saban tree. And this is a tell-all like you've never heard before. I say that jokingly. My everyone's friend, Kevin Steele, who just announced just right before Coach Saban that he was retiring. Coach Kevin Steele, good afternoon. It's so great to what's a man of leisure doing on a Thursday afternoon?
Well, I'm doing very well, Paul. Thank you. And we made a trip to Mobile to see the grandkids. So having a blast there.
Well, it's great to have you on, and congratulations on a truly extraordinary career that this season had to be among your – you've been part of multiple national championships, but this season had to be pretty special to see the nuances of it and to see how it went.
Well, now looking back, it's even more special because you look back and it was Coach's last season, which even makes it more special. But going through the season, even spring practice and fall camp and kind of developing the team, it was an amazing group of guys, number one, Paul. The guys on the team were easy to coach. They were great guys, a very good team to coach. We had some you know, we stubbed our toe early in the season, but those guys just – they kept fighting. Of course, Coach's process worked to a T, and I've heard numerous people say it may have been his best coaching job. I don't know that because I wasn't around for all of them, but it was I've been around for a few of them, and it was a remarkable what those guys did this year.
Coach, I mean, I don't want to make this about Coach Saban, but you announced, I think on a Monday, that you were moving and stepping away, and he followed suit a couple of days later. I know he was upset that you were leaving and he couldn't handle it, but seriously, I mean, were there signs? A lot of people believe there were, but you were closer to him than anybody.
Well, there were things that, looking back, you kind of say, you know, if I'd have paid closer attention, I would have known. But then on the other side of it, as you well know, his process is his process, and he was actually interviewing people up to an hour before he announced his retirement. I think that was all by design in case that he changed his mind. He didn't want to be 3, 4, 5 days behind. That's the way he operates. He's going to play to the last play. You've seen him through the years go ballistic, up 45-3, and some third string quarterback make a mistake, and it was like the game was on the line and you were going to lose. He's going to play it to the last play, which he did on this.
I mean, everyone knows your history. You were there. You were the first person he hired at Alabama in 2007 from Florida State. He had to have you for not only your coaching, but your recruiting ability. And then you went back, and then you went back again this year after most of us thought you were retired after your run. I want to say at Auburn, but weren't you the interim head coach at Tennessee for a couple of hours too?
A few hours. That's not a chapter in the book. That's about half the book.
You may have broken the record for being interim head coaches though, but I'll leave that for your book. But seriously, what brought you back this year?
Really, Coach Saban. Totally. We've been friends for a long time, back in the mid-'80s. In my opinion, I think he's the best that's ever done it. And I think when Pete Golding left Alabama, there were some names. In fact, I talked to Coach about them. And it just didn't work out for whatever reason. I think he was in a situation where he didn't want to retrain or bring somebody in that knew nothing about his defense. And so he asked me to do it, and the rest is history.
And it's interesting that, and I don't want to speak out of school here, but I feel like I know you, have known you a long time, and you alluded once or twice in conversations that even when you were at Auburn, if I'm getting this correctly, he would still call you. I mean, you had this special relationship where you just put everything aside and had conversations about things that were very important to him. Am I right?
Right. Right. We're friends first, and like I said, have been since back the late 80s. We didn't say it then publicly. He could have said it and got away with it. I don't know that I could have, but yes, while I was at Auburn, we talked just like we normally talk. It was not about football, but we talked about other things.
Talking to Kevin Steele here, Coach, as you reflect back on your own career, so many stops along the way. I mean, you had this incredible reputation. Some people told me that one of the reasons you were brought back this year, even at Alabama, was because you're such a fundamental football coach and the team was not tackling well, and suddenly with your arrival, things changed. You're a product of John Majors, who doesn't get enough credit. I want you to go back in time a little bit and talk about where you learned the trade and how you applied it for so many years at so many places.
Right. Well, I got blessed very early in my career. I was in school with you at the University of Tennessee, and Coach Majors came in. I was not a good player at all. In fact, I may have been one of the best scout team players coach ever had. And that's the guy that prepares the offense for what they're going to see on Saturday. You don't play. In starting coaching for coach, and it's no secret, coach, it was very demanding, very strong in his fundamentals. He understood the game very well, but he was such a fundamental coach in blocking, tackling, effort to the football, and staying focused and being relentless. All those buzzwords that coaches use, but he was relentless with it and very demanding with it. And so when you're a young coach and that's what you're around, you coach with your head on fire, trying to get those things done. And it just got deeply embedded in my, you know, however you draw up offenses and defenses. And that's changed through the years and will continue to change. But those other things, they really, if you're going to be a really good football team, those things cannot change.
Coach, and you applied that at every stop, and you had so many interesting stops along the way, and we saw and heard you so often when you were at Auburn, and there was so much speculation. I mean, you were under consideration. You were a head coach at one time at Baylor. You've coached in the NFL. I want to get to where we are in this sport right now, because you played at a time when, I'm not saying it was pure, but it was you certainly can't say that anymore. As you watched the game over the years, I'm curious about your reflections on the odyssey of coaching players of one era to the next, to obviously this year when we were living in the NIL era.
Right. Well, I think the biggest thing, Paul, is from my perspective, when you're on the practice field, the 120 yards, 53 and a third wide, and you're on that practice field, if you coach the right way and reach them the right way, they're going to respond. So practices really aren't that much different. Now, we've cut back with rules on tackling and all those kind of things, but you figure out a way to get it done. And then game day, when the game's going on, the game is still very pure. It's a very good game. It hasn't changed that much. But when you leave that locker room, there's a lot more distractions now, a lot more. And then you add on the transfer portal, which you probably spent the last several months talking about, and NIL. It's changed everything fundamentally, and I don't think anybody has a grasp of it. It's people say Wild Wild West. I mean, I just left it. You can't explain it. It's hard to develop a football team. And college football is still developmental. It's not pros. It's not their job. Totally, in some ways, it is. But it's still, you have to develop young men. They're 18 years old when they come in, and you've got to. They're going to be playing against 21 year olds on Saturday. So there's a development to it. And when you're developing guys, and then he's gone, just up and leaves. Who's next may not be ready. May not be on campus. And then you got to go find somebody. And so it's hard to develop a roster when there's no real concrete rules.
Coach, in the many decades that you've gone into homes, and as recently as a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you were recruiting with Nick Saban and others. I mean to say it's changed is absurd, because we all know it has, but how is someone like you, and Coach Saban for that matter, because he's a couple of years older than you. I know you have to adapt, but at some point, do you just want to scream when you're dealing with some of the variables that you just got through dealing with?
Well, I'll give you an example, and it's a real example. And people may say, I mean, you can pick whichever side of the fence you want to be on. And I'm not opposed to players getting paid. That's fine. I'm not sure where the lines are. And so you go into home, and you know the mom tells you, Coach, we love you. We've been up there 15 times. You know everybody in the family's name. We trust you. We know we're going to get developed there. We know we're going to have a chance to become a first-round draft pick. We know we got to have a chance to win a national championship. But you guys aren't in the ballpark in terms of the money. Well, we as coaches, we can't be involved in that per NCAA rules. And I know people say, well, the NCAA. Well, Paul, the NCAA is the college presidents and the college universities. That's who the NCAA is. So at some point in time, we got to get all those real smart people together and figure out where the guardrails are to make it at least fair.
You probably have noticed this week, I know you've been busy with family, that your alma mater has been in the headlines saying some pretty strong things about the NCAA. Do you see this whole system coming apart? Because it doesn't seem like, from an enforcement standpoint, they have much leg to stand on anymore.
Well, I think you just said it. If you look at the track record over the last couple of years and the lawsuits and those kind of things, I don't know, and I can say this now, I couldn't have said it 2 months ago, I don't know what role the NCAA has. I really don't, as a coach. Now, I'm not an administrator. I'm not somebody smart enough to figure it all out. But just as a boots-on-the-ground soldier, it doesn't seem to have any effect anymore. But again, that the NCAA is college administrators. They run the NCAA. That's who the NCAA is. So we need to get it figured out pretty quick.
Coach, before you go, and I'd like to continue this some other time, you came back into coaching this year because Nick Saban asked you to. Coaches always have a difficult time walking away. For yourself and even for your former boss, what are the difficulties of moving away from what you have spent your entire life participating in?
Yes. 40 plus years, Paul, there's been some tremendous lows. That's the way it's going to be. There's been some tremendous highs, and I've been blessed in my coaching career to be at some phenomenal places and coach for several Hall of Famers, which was unbelievable. But in terms of just walking away, I knew it was time. The thing that I'm going to miss the most, and really already do miss, are the players. You know, being around the players and that, you know, helping them develop and grow. You just miss the interaction with the players, being a part of the team.
I mean, I've heard Coach Saban say the same thing, and I realize he's been busy. Got a few homes, as you know. Do you think that will be an issue for him as well?
I don't want to speak for Coach. Obviously, he can speak for himself very well. But you know, I'm sure he'll experience the same thing. I'm sure he will. I mean, most coaches, most of us that have done it for a long time, that's what they miss: being part of a team and coaching the players.
Was that the same for Coach Majors? I know you stayed close to him till the end.
It was. And we talked to him. I talked to him not too long before he passed away. And when he would talk to me and I was still coaching, that's what he wanted to talk about. It was about the players and how we had, what kind of depth we had, and all the things that developing players, and he even sometimes talk about scheme. And so, you know, it was, you missed that part of it.
Well, we hope to continue this conversation. Kevin Steele, enjoy your time with the family. It's hard to believe a month ago at this very moment, the Rose Bowl game, that was your final game and Coach Saban's final game, was in the first quarter. I mean, it's just amazing how little time has passed.
Wow, I did not realize that. It seems like it was yesterday. And very disappointing we lost that game. I thought we had a chance to win it all.
Well, you came close, but you did win the SEC championship. You derailed Georgia, which very few people expected, and it still wasn't a bad way to go out in the sun in Pasadena. Coach, enjoy your time, and look forward to chatting again very soon.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Kevin Steele, one of the absolute best who's ever done it, just such insight, and we appreciate him talking to us today. Just a month after his final game at Alabama. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, in full candor, we went so long with Kevin Steele that we say hello to say we're coming right back. That was bad management by me, but I wanted to hear what he had to say because it's the first interview that he's given. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.